right after the book of Judges, right before 1 Samuel is where we're going to be at. I do want to say what a blessing it is to be behind the sacred desk. And I just thank God. And I'll say this too, since we're on that. When we had Sunday school this morning, there was one thing that just kept coming to me and just said it over and over again to the youth. God is faithful. Boy, we've heard that all morning. But it's true. And I thank God for that. As you know, we are going through the Bible book by book in the youth, and it just so happens we landed on the book of Ruth this morning, and it has lined up perfectly to what God wants us to hear this morning. And the title of our message this morning is Ruth and the Redeemer. We're going to read a story through four chapters of Ruth about two people, Ruth, and then we're going to find out who the Redeemer is. We're going to find out who your Redeemer is. We're going to find out who my Redeemer is. And just as Job says, I know my Redeemer lives. He'll stand on the earth in the latter day. I want to read chapter 2, verses number 7. So if you'd stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word, we're going to read verses 7 through 12, and we're going to see what God has in store. And the Bible says, she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. And so she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in her house, this being Ruth. And then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. And let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and thou art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. Verse 12, and the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given unto thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Let's pray. Lord God, we know that you're in the house this morning. Let's just get out of the way and let you work, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that the lost person doesn't have. And I thank you, Father, that you are our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord, and that no matter what, you're faithful. And I pray you take over this morning, for it's in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. The story here of the book of Ruth is the woman named Ruth is looking for a redeemer. She has no hope. She has no way to be saved. And she's looking, and her family's looking for a redeemer. And I would say the same thing is true in your life and in my life. We're all looking for a redeemer. We're all looking for something. And sometimes in our lives, our stories should look similar to this story. Because they were once lost and now they're found. They were once blind and now they see. And in the book of Ruth, we're going to see that they found the Redeemer. So my question to you this morning, what does the story of Ruth and the Redeemer mean to you? What does it mean to you? There's four chapters here that we're going to look at. We're going to go chapter by chapter. Four chapters, 4 points. Let's go to chapter 1, verse number 1. We're going to talk about a city or a country called Moab. Now, you, as you read and other scriptures in the Bible, it talks about how Moab represents something. It represents something that's evil. It represents something that's dirty. It represents what sin is in your life and my life. Chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, and he and his wife and his two sons." Verse 2, "And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephraimites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab, and they continued there." Moab is a representation of sin. Moab is the place, and it even says in the book of Psalms that Moab is God's washpot. It's evil. It's no good. And the same thing is true in my life. Sin in my life is no good. Sin in your life is no good. It is a washpot. It is evil. And we're going to see what happens when you're in Moab in this story. And in your life, when you're in sin. The first thing we see when we're in sin is there's death. The Bible says it right here in verse 3. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. As soon as they get into that land of evil, there's death. The Bible says in the book of Romans, the wages of sin is, it's death. And we're going to see that through this story of Ruth, how this place brought a redeemer to their Savior, or brought a redeemer to their life. There was death in this story. Verse 5, it says, "Mahlon and Chilion, or Chilion died, also both of them." There's death and there's loneliness. It says right after that, And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. There's loneliness in sin. It'll drive you just as far away from anybody else as you want to go. It'll take you places you don't want to be. It'll take you as far down as we can go. And it tells us in this story that there's death and there's loneliness because this is a separation from God. They were in Bethlehem. They were in Judah. Just because of famine, they left. Just because of unbelief, they left. They didn't think God was going to provide. They got out of shop. They got out of Dodge. And it says when they moved on to Moab, when they moved on to that evil place, a lot of folks died and a lot of folks got lonely. And that's what happens in your life and that's what happens in my life. Loneliness and death in the middle of sin. And that's basically what chapter 1's about. It's about a place called Moab. And Ruth and her family went there. Her husband died, her uncle died, and her dad died. If you look in this story, you're going to see that the only way to redeem death is a man. And you're going to get me here in a minute. Let's go to chapter 2. Only one person in your life and in my life can redeem us from sin. It's the man, Christ Jesus. And we're going to see a representation of who Jesus is in your life and my life. His name's Boaz. He's the man in this story. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 1. Boaz is a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. So I wrote down the question. If he looks like Jesus, if he's a representation of Jesus in your life and my life, how does he look like Jesus? What can we take from this passage? Well, the scripture tells us that number one, Boaz gave those people shelter. And the Lord Jesus gives me and you shelter. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 12. They gave him shelter. We read it earlier. "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. When you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're covered under His wings. And I thank God for that. Because this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere with beyond the blue. And the Bible tells me that there's one man we can be redeemed by. It's by Jesus Christ. Boaz is a perfect example of Jesus because he gives his people shelter. And there was only one person that could give Ruth and the whole family shelter. And that was Boaz. So he gave them shelter. Let's go to verse 13. He gave them shelter. He gave them hope. Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me. And for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaids." So what that scripture is telling me is that there's comfort and there's hope in Boaz. And maybe you're kind of connecting the dots here. There's comfort and there's hope in a man named Jesus. When you come to know Christ, He gives you that shelter. He gives you that home. He gives you that spirit. But He's going to give you a place of hope where you don't have to look to the world for hope anymore. Look to the Redeemer. Look to the Lord Jesus. There's shelter and there's hope. Verse 14 tells me that there is an abundance in the Lord. There's an abundance with Boaz. It says, "And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers." Here it is. "And she reached her parched corn," and he reached her parched corn, "and she did eat it and was sufficed, and then she left." The Bible tells me that there is an abundance as a Christian. That if you want it, you can get it. Just as much as you want to get close to the Lord, as much as you want to study, as much as you want to pray, the Bible tells me there's an abundance in Christ Jesus. And if you want it, you can get it. It says, let's go to the book of John. There's an abundance as a Christian. I thank God for that. Not just in Ruth's life where she was looking to Boaz for an abundance, but it paints a picture of Jesus about how He is our abundance. And in John chapter 10, verse 10, y'all know the scripture, but I want to turn and look at it. We looked at Moab where there's sin, and we're looking at a man whose Boaz represents our Lord. John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come." Boy, thank God for that. "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You can live and you can die. But if you want to live with an abundant life, you've got to trust in Jesus. You've got to call upon His name. You've got to call on the Redeemer. And Ruth calls upon the Redeemer here. And there's shelter. There's a hope. There's an abundance. And there's more than you'll ever need in Jesus. More than we'll ever need. There's safety. Let's go back to Ruth. Ruth chapter number 2, verse number 20. "Naomi said unto her, Daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who has not left us, who has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Naomi said to her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." There's safety. Naomi's telling her daughter-in-law, Ruth, that Boaz is the man that can save us. This paints the picture if you ain't already figured it out. She's telling Ruth, this is the man that can redeem us from where we're at in our life. You see where I'm going, don't you? The Redeemer that we have in the Lord Jesus, I'm thank God He gives me hope. I thank God that he gives me shelter. I thank God he gives me an abundance. But I thank God for safety. Safety. Sheltered in the arms of God, as the old hymn says. We're sheltered. And she tells Ruth, that man can redeem us. And I want to tell you as a congregation, that man can redeem us. That's Jesus. He's the kinsman redeemer. He is the Savior. He is the man. We're looking at Boaz, but we're talking about another man at the same time. We're talking about our Lord. He gives them safety, but he gives them a closeness. And I kind of want to settle down for a minute and let everybody understand. Chapter 2, verse 22. He gives his people a closeness. The Bible paints a perfect picture. Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, and that they meet thee not in any other field. That's a little bit different translation. Here's a simpler one. Don't go to another field. You stay with me. He says, don't go to another place. You may be hurt. You may not have the safety like you have in the field of Jesus. You may not have the safety like you have in Boaz's field. But when you stay in that field, there's safety and there's a closeness next to the Redeemer. If you want to get close, I challenge you to stay in the field of God. If you want to get close to your Savior, look to the man. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In this scripture, we're told to stay in that field. If we go somewhere else, we're going to get harmed. That's true in your life. That's true in my life. If I look to the world, if I look to the sin that I used to live in, if I look to the evil, I'm going to get hurt because I'm not the world. I don't live in the world anymore. And we shouldn't as Christians. I'm called out. And I'm called to live for the man Jesus. Let's go to chapter 3. Chapter 3, we're going to look at a mission. We've talked about Moab. We talked about the man, Boaz. But I want to see the mission that these people had. The mission. They had a mission. They said, we want to be redeemed. They got to a place where they saw they had no hope. And Ruth and Naomi said, Boaz, we want to be redeemed. And the Bible tells me that he can do it. Chapter 3, verse number 3, we're looking at redemption. If you're saved, you've had a redemption story. How you once were lost, but now you're found. Once was blind, but now you see. A redemption. You went one way, now you go a different way. It's like a U-turn. We turn and we go to the Lord. And that's what this scripture is telling us. There's a mission of redemption. And when you want to be redeemed, there's going to be submission. Chapter 3, verse 3. A lot of different words, but it sticks with me. Talking about submission. Verse 3, wash thyself therefore and anoint thee and pure and put thy raiment upon thee and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known to the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. The thing I want to look at is get down on the floor. Or get thee down to the floor. When you get saved, when you are a child of God, there is submission in your life and my life. Submission. I'm no longer my shot caller. I no longer can do everything in the world that I want to do. If I don't want to do it and the Lord tells me to do it, submit. And this scripture, Ruth submits to her Redeemer. Gets down on the floor at his feet and wants to be redeemed. Is that not a perfect picture of how we get on our knees and ask the Lord into our heart? And the Bible tells me that if I ask, he will give me the desires of my heart. If I get down, if I get submissive, if I get down and pray and seek His face. Turn from my wicked ways. He'll hear me. And He will redeem. And He'll give us that redemption story. That was their mission, to be submitted. Chapter 3, verse 5. We see their submission, but there's obedience. This is a good one. Obedience. Naomi is telling Ruth in this story exactly how to do it, when to do it, where to do it, what to do. And she gets to this point, she says, and she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And I'm not looking at this to Naomi and Ruth, I'm looking at it to my Lord and me. All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Is it comfortable? No. Is it easy? No. Is it the right thing to do? It's the right thing to do. All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. That's how you get redeemed. Is you submit and you be obedient. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then, afterwards, all these things shall be added unto you. But you got to seek God first. And we got to seek God as believers and in His family, in His mission, in the redemption of the Lord. We must be obedient. Let's move on. There's submission. There's obedience. Chapter 3, verse 9, there's a confession. Boy, it's getting good now. There's a confession. The day I got saved, I don't remember many words. I remember a lot of crying, a lot of probably words you can't even understand. But there was a confession. And the day you got saved, there was a confession in your life that you couldn't do it no longer. You couldn't live the same way no longer. You couldn't feel that way no longer. Confessed your sins. Now He's faithful and just to forgive them. Chapter 3, verse 9. Bible says, and He said, who are thou? And she answered, I am Ruth. And when Jesus Christ comes into your life, He asks, who are you? And the way we answer is, we're lost in need of a Savior. And that's how you get redeemed. That's the mission. Submission, obedience, and confession. She says, I am Ruth. That's all I am. That's all I've got. I need you to save me. I need you to redeem me. And praise God, when we see that, there's a comfort. Chapter 3, verse number 11. There's a comfort when there's a redemption story. Boaz tells Ruth, I got to go see if I can redeem you. Let's read the scripture. Chapter 3, verse 11. And now, my daughter, fear not. There's the comfort. For I will do thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doeth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Verse 13, let's skip down. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee part of the kinsman well, let him do it, or let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then I will do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. That's a lot of words. Let me tell you what's going on. Boaz has to go through another man to redeem Ruth. And he's going to go up and he tells Ruth, I'm going to see if he wants you. And he says right after that, if he wants you, he'll redeem you. But I thank God for that second part. He says, if he doesn't, then I will. And I'm going to tell you something. I thank God he told me nobody else can redeem you. Nobody else can come inside of your life and bring you a newness. The Bible tells me right here, I can redeem you. I can. If nobody else wants you, I do. If nobody else wants to be with you, I do. That's the love of Jesus Christ. That's the love that we live in as believers. He tells Ruth, if he doesn't, I will. And I'm going to tell you something. Nobody else can redeem me and you. But thank God he died on that cross for me and you. Paid the price for all the sins I've ever done. And the Bible tells me there's a comfort that somebody can redeem me. Let's finish it up, chapter 4. We've seen there's Moab, represents sin. We've seen there's a man who's Boaz. We've seen a mission to get redeemed. Chapter 4, there's a marriage. Chapter 4, there's a marriage between Ruth and her Redeemer. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 11. There's a blessing in a marriage. Let me ask you something. I'm going to go off on a limb here and say a lot of folks in this room have been married. Pretty good assumption, I'd say. Every wedding that you've been to, heard about, whatever, there's a blessing in it. You're either being asked, the preacher either gives a blessing, prays for a blessing over you, the people that give you the gift want to bless you. There's some type of blessing in a marriage. And the same's true here, chapter 4, verse 11. And the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make thee woman that is coming to thy house like Rachel and like Leah, which did built thy house of Israel, and to do worthily in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. The word I want to look at is be famous. They give a blessing is we want you to be famous. That's the blessing they give to Ruth and to Boaz. The cool thing about it is most of the time, if you ask God to bless, he will bless. If we ask according to his will, he'll answer it. And so what happens here is Ruth and Boaz have a child named Obed, who is the grandfather of David, who is a man after God's own heart. And this paints a picture through the lineage of Obed, of Jesse, of David, down the line to Jesus Christ. And this story is in the lineage of your Savior and my Savior. I believe the blessing came to pass. It also talks about that there's a blessing. Here's why I want to kind of close us up. In a marriage, things are bought. Whether it's a gift that you buy, whether it's a marriage license you got to pay for a marriage license. I didn't know that until I got married. But you got to buy something to get married. And in this story, Boaz had to buy Ruth. He had to buy, and this time they were just property. That's all they were. They were property. They wanted the land. They wanted the people. And that's why the first Redeemer didn't take them up on the offer. The story goes, and you can read it, where Boaz asks the other Redeemer, he says, you want the land? Yeah, I want the land. But the requirement is you got to marry Ruth. He said, whoa, I want the object. I don't want the person. But I told you, Boaz is a representation of Jesus. He wants the person. He wants you and he wants me. As bad as I've been and as bad as you are. And you have been before you got saved and before I got saved. He wants to buy all of you. The Bible says in verse 8 of chapter 4. No, let's go to chapter 4, verse 4. I'm sorry. Talking about being bought back. It says, and I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou will redeem it, redeem it. But if not, will I redeem it? Then tell me. He says, I'm going to redeem it right there. Then the scripture, verse 5, then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi thou must buy it also of Ruth and the Moabites. That's the story I was talking about, how he had to buy the land and he had to marry. Let's go down to verse 8. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So we drew off a shoe, and Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, you are witnesses today that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. The word we want to look at is the word bought. You've been bought with a price, and I have too. We've been bought back from the hand of sin. We've been bought back from the hand of death because of the Redeemer. Boaz redeemed, he bought back, he saved, he married. And in my life and your life, there's a marriage. When he buys you back, the day you call upon his name and he buys you back, you're married to him. We're married to our Lord. What a blessing and what a picture that is. Ruth and the Redeemer. Here's the last thing, chapter 4, verse 15, we'll close. We've seen there's a blessing. We've seen that we were bought back. But here's where I want to close tonight. In a marriage, you get a brand new life. When I got married to my sweet wife, Holly, I had a brand new life. Moved houses, left my parents. Lord, they've been missing me ever since. Got a new life. I do things different now. I have different activities I do every day. I do different things at night. Everything in my life changed. I got a brand new life. And this marriage paints the picture of getting saved. There's a brand new life. The Bible tells me old things have passed away and the new things have come. Chapter 4, verse 15. The Bible says, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. When you get married, you get a new life. You get a Redeemer. You get a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a perfect picture of us and Jesus. So that raises the question as we close. Have you been married? And I'm not talking about your spouse. And I'm not talking about, a lot of folks say, I'm married to the grind, married to my work, married to whatever. Have you been married to Jesus? Have you been bought back? Have you been set free from your sins? The book of Ruth and the story of Ruth and a Redeemer ends like this. They wanted to be redeemed and he done it. And in my life and in your life, you and I need a Redeemer. Point blank. The question is, do you have it? I'll close with a story. Last night, me and Holly watched a movie called Encanto. It's a Disney movie. Is that was the name of it? Encanto? New movie out. Good movie. Go watch it. Right there at the end, the story, the plot is the house is falling apart. This one girl who's got no business doing nothing, she is the one that has to save the house, restore the house. Great film. Brought me a tear. At the end of it, she saves the house. It's rebuilt. They join together. All is well. And right there at the end, the whole family that had all the power, they gave her the doorknob to go into the house where they're walking in. And she looked at it. It had her little engraved name on it, and she looked at it and showed a face of her. And they handed her that doorknob, and she went up there, and she put it in the door, and the house came alive. If you've been bought, you've got a home. And when I saw that, she put that doorknob in that door, that house came alive, it came on me. When you get to heaven, you got a home. And you got the doorknob when you get there and you stick it in there and your house is forever new. Because you've been bought and because you've been married. Let me ask you something this morning. Do you want that? Do you want to be redeemed? If you've been redeemed, God's faithful. That's what we must stick to. I want to pray. We'll let the worship team up here, and we'll let God do the rest. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for a Redeemer. Lord God, I thank you that this paints a perfect picture of our Redeemer in Jesus. And I pray you would take over, and I pray you do a work. God, I love you and I thank you. And I pray that you would do a work in this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen.